I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. Hello.
Final episode of APAM, and it's just us this time. No guests, no Joyce.
No. Y'all are taking on another Disney film. We started with Disney. We are ending with Disney.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. But yeah, we are, definitely. What's today's movie?
Big Hero 6!
Yay!
I love this movie.
I love this movie. I think this was the first movie I saw in theaters in college. It was definitely the first movie me and my friend group went to go see because we were all very excited and it looked very cute. And I think this was the first one I went to the Common Theater to go see.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, because our campus is was right across from the Boston Common. And I didn't realize how annoyed I got at people who called it the Commons until very recently my sister was calling it that. And I was like, stop. I was like, I only lived in Boston for 4 years. And I am very annoyed by you saying Commons when it's the Boston Common.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was a movie theater right there. And I feel like that was the movie theater most of us went to.
It's a pain in the ass for me to get to, and I still go to it.
Why don't you go to I genuinely think that the theater in Fenway is so much better.
Mm.
You should try going there, and it's closer to you.
Yeah, we've gone a few times. There's one out in... This is suddenly very specific. We've gone to other theaters, but for me, whenever it's, like, I'm meeting up with friends, like, the Common is still the central spot, and it's right next to Chinatown.
Mm, yes. Mm. That is a good thing. but we digress from this little Boston geography.
Yeah, you're wondering our Boston movie theater Rex.
Yeah. Coolidge Corner is also a good one. But it's like more like indie, mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. But anyway. So Big Hero 6. Hello.
Big Hero 6.
This is an amazing movie. What are the stats, Lily?
It came out in the U.S. on November 7th, 2014. It was directed by Don Hall and Chris Williams. Produced by Roy Conley. Screenplay by Jordan Roberts, Robert L. Baird, Don Gerson. It's based on the comics, Big Hero 6. And I'm not going to read the full cast.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot.
I think the only, like, sort of big name person is the guy who voices Baymax, and he was, like, in Arrested Development or something.
Scott Adsit was in 30 Rock, and he voiced Baymax.
Oh.
Mm. I do remember my mind was blown when I read that, because I was a huge 30 Rock fan.
Lily, do you not remember that this was freshman year, and I invited you to, like, the Oscars Emmertainment Monthly, like, viewing party?
Oh, I do remember that.
You spent the entire time being like, I'm going to write a thing about him being Baymax.
And I did.
You did.
That was my one contribution.
EmmertainmentMonthly.com no longer exists, so.
Oof. Yeah.
I checked very recently. It made me sad.
Yikes.
But anyway, Big Hero 6 is about a group of one child, he's like 14,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like college students, and a robot who are trying to solve a mystery of, like, who stole Hiro, who is, like, the, you know, main character, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Stole his tech because he's, like, super smart. Like, he graduated high school at 13. And they're, like, trying to figure out who stole his tech because whoever stole his tech exploded the convention in which he, like, showed it off to the world. And that is the same explosion that his older brother Tadashi died in. So he's also trying to, like, find closure on why Tadashi had to die that night.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all of the other people are Tadashi's friends from school because mm-hmm. Tadashi was also a super genius who went to school with other super geniuses.
Yeah, he went to pretty much what the idea is, like, MIT on steroids in California.
Would that not be Caltech?
Yeah. Sorry, MIT. Yeah. And then what everybody knows Big Hero 6 for is Baymax, the big white
Baymax
marshmallow huggable robot that Tadashi built.
Yeah. A few months ago, while ago, pre-quarantine, so longer than a few months. But my nephew was sleeping over, and and I was like, oh my God, do you want to watch a movie? So we went over to, like, my little movie bookshelf, and I pulled all the, like, family-friendly children ones, which is a good amount because I am a child. And also I started collecting those DVDs as a child, so. And he was like, I want to watch this one. And it was Big Hero 6, and I was like, yes! Then we tried to play it on the DVD player, and it didn't work, but whatever, that's not my... anyway, I had him take it home, and then he watched it, and he was obsessed. And for, cute. Like, this short time before Pokemon took over, he really wanted a Big Hero 6 birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was introduced to Pokemon.
Right, right, right.
And now all he cares about is Pokemon.
Oh, that sounds like a quintessential childhood.
Yes, exactly. That's what a five-year-old would do. I also have another story. Remember when you said we were going to go to a robot cafe in Japan?
Yes.
Remember how you described the robot cafe to me?
No.
You said it's like the beginning of Big Hero 6.
Oh.
And I was convinced we were going to go to a robot fight. To watch
robot fights. Why did I describe it like that? Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Maybe you were just saying, like, Big Hero 6, and I put in the beginning part, but I was like, oh, so it's like a robot fight, and, like, in some way, the communication was like, yeah, it's like that. And I was like, awesome, this is gonna be lit. And then we go to this robot cafe in Tokyo, which, honestly, after having gone, I kind of recommend, because it was, like...
It was great.
It was still a trip.
Definitely.
But it was not robot fighting.
Yeah, it's not a robot fight.
I thought we were going to see a robot fight. It was more like a robot parade.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was not a robot fight.
Oh, what a difference. I can't even imagine what brain space you were in.
I genuinely was like, this is going to be so lit. Like, we're going to see robot fights? Hell yeah. And then it was
a parade. It was a show.
It was yeah, with like the most insane robots. There are pictures of me watching because Joyce would like snap a picture of me every once in a while where my face is just like, what is going on?
Yep. Accurate depiction of the robot cafe. Wow. Yeah. What a time. What a mental roller coaster you went on in, like, an hour.
Exactly. But with the robot fighting, I love it as an introduction to Hiro. He's this such a little hustler. Scrawny little
kid. Oh, he's such a brat. When you first meet him.
I love it.
That 13-year-old smart-ass brat.
But I love it. I love it so much. I think this movie does character introductions very, very well.
I really like the way the brothers are introduced as well, too. Because once you get a feel for Hiro and, like, oh, he's a trickster, he's ridiculously smart. And then you see Tadashi, who still has to save his little brother's butt all the time.
Knight in shining armor. Like, literally, he was the knight in shining armor character.
Definitely, yeah. I cannot tell you how many... every girl, but specifically Asian girls have crushes on Tadashi. He's ideal type.
See, because I was like, because when I was watching, I was like, wait, do I have a crush on Gogo or do I just want to be Gogo? Is this what's happening right now?
I loved Gogo.
You know, classic queer woman problems. Definitely. Never knowing if you want to be her or want to date her.
I didn't realize that was what some people would call a tell. I thought that was just a normal way of thought that everybody had. No.
Yeah, no.
Oops.
I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, sexuality's weird.
Yeah. I absolutely loved Gogo. I do wish she had more lines.
Yeah.
it made sense because like... she was a side, more of a side character. Like the whole crew was just like rounding out cast. I do wish she talked more.
But I kind of feel like that goes with her character. She was very much a like a silent stoic mm-hmm. type.
Yeah.
Like if she yeah. spoke a lot, I'd be like, Like Honey Lemon talks a lot, but Honey Lemon yeah. is a very like hyper energetic person. And I feel like probably if you break it down, Gogo has the least amount of lines, but it doesn't like pop out at you all that much, you know?
Yeah. And it doesn't translate to low screen time too. Like no. She's still very active. She's still around. She just doesn't talk.
Same with Wasabi. I feel like Wasabi doesn't talk too much. No, never mind. That's
I loved
a lie.
Him. He was one of my favorites.
He is.
Because he was
I
really scared
fun.
When they went to the abandoned island. So he yeah, was like talking through his nerves.
Yeah, that was a mood though when he saw the quarantine. He sees a quarantine sign and he goes, "Quarantine? Do you know what that means?" And it's like mood. Because some of y'all don't know what quarantine means.
I also like how mad he was that his nickname was Wasabi, and he was like, one time. It was just one time.
It's kind of like Jim from The Office and Andy. Like, his nickname is Tuna because the first day he worked in the Stanford office, which is where I'm from, Andy called him Big Tuna because he's eating a tuna fish sandwich. So then for the rest of the series, he was like, Toons, Tuna, like, Tuna. And that is very much Wasabi. I like his character archetype as well, where it's like he's like the big strong looking one, but he's also like the scaredy cat.
Yeah.
And he's very like organized.
What was his tech specialty?
The lasers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I did
and
like
Honey
how that
Lemon was the chemist.
Yeah, I also liked how each one had their tech specialty, so it wasn't like they all had superpowers or anything like that, but they still had their own identifying trademarks.
Yeah, I mean, no one has superpowers in this one.
Yeah,
it's all like tech based, fantastical, probably improbable tech.
Yep.
You know, but still tech based. And I remember when the movie came out, there was a lot of discourse about Honey Lemon specifically.
Oh.
Because people were like identifying her as Latinx.
Yeah.
And I didn't identify her that way, but a lot of people were, because she's very white and blonde, and the discourse was literally around that, like, not all Latinx people are like dark skin, dark hair, like some of them have like light hair and light skin and are very white passing. And I feel like a lot of it comes from, like, the intonation of the, like, not the accent she has.
That's what I thought.
Certain words.
Yeah, because I remember, I do remember hearing about this, and someone mentioned that it's the way she talks. It is her accent that you're supposed to, like, it's the clue that we get that she's a person of color.
Well, because she does say, like, when she, like, she'll say hero, but she'll also say hero, like, rolling the R's on the, like, rolling the R. And then there was, like, when I was watching, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of noticing it more right now, where she was asking for a photo, and she was like, photo, photo, photo. Like, she said it with an accent. So it's kind of, like, there. So, hey.
Yeah.
Honey, this is kind of, like, a pretty diverse cast with, I guess, only one white person. And, like, if you look at it that way, it's only one white person.
Yeah. I really, I can't overstate how excited Asian media Twitter was for Big Hero 6, because this was like the first superhero. The design of the city, San Francisco, looks amazing. It's just
I do love that name.
It's really great,
and
it's really fun. Just the mix of Tokyo and San Francisco. I did see a thing, I'll try and find it, but someone linked to an article that they were talking to like the design team, and apparently San Francisco is supposed to be was roughly inspired by the idea, because San Francisco has a huge Japanese-American population, of what if Japanese-Americans worked with city designers to rebuild San Francisco after the earthquake. So it's supposed to be that mix and that influence. I will find that article to better cite my source. I just read that headline in a tweet once, and I was like, duly noted, and then I forgot about it. But it's a cool little fact.
Yeah. I just think this movie is also very sad. Every time I watch it, I cry.
I wept the first time I watched it. I thought Tadashi dying was going to be the worst of it. Oh, no. That was just the first. There's like many happy things, but then like the end is the real kicker. I was absolutely sobbing.
What I think is kind of great about this movie, I feel like people talk all the time about how Inside Out was great for teaching kids about their emotions and blah, 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 blah. But I feel like Big Hero 6 is like the movie to show kids to how to deal with grief.
For sure.
Like, and like, what I find so interesting is like Coco is a movie that people have been showing their kids as a way to deal with like death as well. But, and like valid. It is, yeah. It wholly deals with a kid literally going to the afterlife. not dead, but he goes to the afterlife. So it's a valid movie to show, but I feel like people forget about Big Hero 6. Big Hero 6, for as much as like it's beloved, it's so underrated.
I think people focus too much on the commercialization of Baymax. Because people see the, like, the hero story, the adventure, the friendship, kind of, like, we're gonna assemble a team, kind of Avengers thing, and they do forget that at the core of this, this is about grief and mourning loved ones, because Hiro and Tadashi both lost their parents, and then Hiro loses his brother, so it's just, there's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of mourning and grief.
Yeah. And you, like, see the way the aunt deals with it, too, because she's like, When they come home after they get arrested after the robot fight. And she's like, your parents left me in your care after they died. And like, am I failing as a parent? I thought I was doing well by you. Like, you can see it in that too, where it's like not whole, like the whole family is not unaffected by it at this stage, you know. I feel like a lot of Disney movies that by the time we get to the story, the only person who's still like affected by the parent death is the kid, like,
right,
whoever the like main character is, right. But in this one you see it from the aunt and from the brothers, and then it's just like, I don't want to use this term, but like nail on the coffin. Tadashi dies too, which is awful.
That was horrible. And he died in just such
the most pointless way.
The most pointless way, but it was also the most honorable way. Like, he is that knight in shining armor archetype of, he's just like, I have to go back and save them. This is just like, this is who I am.
Callahan specifically. That's who he was going in to save. Callahan specifically. Because they like ran back to the convention and someone was like, Callahan is still in there. And he was like, someone's gotta help, and he runs in. And it looks like Hiro's like about to run in right after him, and then he flies backwards with the hat in his hand.
That hurts every time.
It really does. I remember the DVD that I bought of it came with a digital copy. So when I get digital copies, I immediately put it into my iTunes, because I'm like, I never know when I'm going to want to watch a movie like random, like when I'm out in a somewhere. So I had it downloaded, and I was on my way home from like college, like a weekend, whatever. And so I was on the train and I was like, I'm gonna watch Big Hero 6. I love this movie. Like, this movie's so good. I'm going to watch it. And I realized my mistake. Because I was like, I'm sitting on this Amtrak train crying. It was a mistake. I should not have watched that.
It's bad. But so I think the three biggest times that I cried was, of course, Tadashi. The second time, when Hiro is having his emotional meltdown of, he's trying to make Baymax more of a fighter, and he's trying to get rid of the care thing. And then Baymax, I don't remember how, but he triggers Tadashi.
He's saying, Tadashi is here. And like Hiro's like, no, he's not. Stop that. Tadashi is here. And then the screen.
Yeah.
Because I guess technically the way Baymax functions is kind of like how Alexa or like Google Home or whatever, all those function. The microphone is always on, so it's always tangentially recording, so it can know when you're talking, when you say Alexa. Thank God I don't have one of those in here. But I guess Baymax is the same way, but with like the video, the way he sees.
Yeah,
like, and also video must always be running.
Tadashi was doing test runs, and he was recording every test run, and it was just, oh, I cried a lot when you saw Tadashi again.
Yeah. But I like the way that he kind of ropes everyone else into it.
Yeah. Hiro, as the group leader, I thought was really interesting because they're all just like, everyone is like humoring him at first because like he's just the kid. He's the kid brother of our dear friend that we lost. And then he ended up actually being group leader.
What I think was great though is that it was almost emotional manipulation. Because what really was happening was that, like, you know, Baymax gets activated for the first time, and like, when he realizes that Tadashi's gone, he downloads all the, like, mourning stuff, the grief stuff from the internet. He's like, okay, I need to call your friends. So he calls the friends. And then when Hiro and Baymax are, like, off running, then, like, you see their car creep up. And then they get swept up into the whole, like, guy in the mask thing. They end up at Fred's house. And then and then the way they kind of get roped into it is that is basically Hiro being like, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. And then Baymax is like, it is important to support our friends. Or it's important for loved ones to be around when someone is experiencing grief. And so they're all just like, okay. I guess we'll do this. So I think that's kind of funny. It's like almost emotional manipulation on that part. Okay, but also, one other thing that I don't really like. I really don't like Go-Go saying woman up.
Yeah, that was one of those things of just like, oh, haha, I get it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I get it. You're trying to reverse man up. Like, you're trying to be, like, woman up. Like, tough like a woman. But it's, like, also one of those moves that just feels, like, so obnoxiously rad femme.
So how would you compare it to the Captain Marvel Shiro thing?
Except they didn't do Shiro.
What did they do?
Like, it was Hiro. And then they, like,
oh, her got was rid Captain. Of the O. Oh, okay, yeah.
That it's not that it was capital. It was like it said Hiro, and then the O kind of faded away.
Oh.
But I think that makes sense because it's like the Hiro is her.
Oh, okay, okay. That makes sense. I see what you mean.
Like the way that like that's going is like Hiro, her, Captain Marvel, you know? But this is like woman up. And you're like, oh, good God.
I know a lot of feminists, and I've never met someone who does that.
I know. I mean, I know people who actively try to take gendered, like, phrases out of their vocabulary. And, like, you know, saying, like, man up, or grow a pair, or, like, things like that, you know? To take that language out because it doesn't really help anyone.
No.
Even, you know, calling someone a bitch or, like, anything like that. I get that. I get taking that out. But, like, I don't know. There's something just so cringe about saying woman up.
I think it was a bit of context. I think it was... It felt so jarring of, maybe is, I don't know, is it because she just didn't talk as much beforehand and we just didn't get as much of a feel and it was just one of those like, oh, okay. But also it sounds awkward. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't like put, and like, I want to see, I almost want to, like, discuss it more to be, like, is this me being, like, a little bit, like, misogynistic?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
No, am I feel internalizing that a little bit? But mm-hmm. I also just feel like it's, language is very fluid. And, yeah, if you want to say woman up, sure, do it. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about, like, there's so many other ways to say, like, toughen up. You can literally just say toughen up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or, like, I don't know.
No, I get
it. There are just so many other ways. I feel like the way that language has been going towards, I guess, in the last 4 years or 6 years. Oh, my God. 6 years. 6 years since this movie came out.
Yeah.
I guess, like, slang in general has become less gendered.
Mm.
So it's, like, I don't know. It's weird to me that... Okay, maybe this is why I don't like it. Because it feels like a lazy feminist thing.
Mm. Bare minimum.
Yeah.
Mm. This is what a college lazy. Feminist sounds like.
Yeah, like, woman up. Like, shut up. Like, it doesn't even sound natural to be like, woman up. Like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really don't know why. Like, I don't like it when people say man up either, but...
Mm-hmm. I think it's a mix of both, or at least for me, I feel like it's both of, it sounds weird to me because we've never heard that before. So I'm just used to hearing man up. So woman up therefore sounds awkward and forced. And I do mm-hmm. think it is just like, this is, I got it. This is exactly what a radical feminist in college would say. We are so progressive. It did have a mix of both of those things of just like, it was kind of weird. And that might be on me and my own internalized heteronormativity, like, things. But it was also just a weird phrase to say.
Yeah. And I feel like when I first saw it in 2014, I was like, yeah, woman up. but now watching it again, I'm like, oh, I hate that.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, and I want to talk about it later, if they... Because Big Hero 6 never got a sequel, but they did get a limited,
they have a
like...
series.
Yeah, they have a series. So I wonder... if she says it
after
more.
After I finished watching on Disney Plus, it immediately was like, how about you watch the series?
Honestly, I might start the series. If she says it more in the series and you get used to it that way, of like, it's just a character trait, maybe it'll get less weird. But in the movie, it was kind of off-putting.
I mean, I would kind of hope that they just would drop it. Because I just don't like it. But whatever.
Mm.
I will say, though, that one of the most, like... cinematic scenes in the whole movie is when Hero takes out the like doctor chip the healthcare chip and like Baymax destroy
mm-hmm.
and Baymax but like the scene shifts
mm-hmm.
the way it shifts from when like he puts the like data thing back mm-hmm. in and hit, like, the way Baymax just goes after Callahan,
mm-hmm.
and then the way the team struggles around Baymax to stop him from killing Callahan.
Right.
Whoa. The music gives me chills. It's just such a cinematic. What? Why? Whoa, words. It was such a cinematic scene.
Mm-hmm. It was a whole tone shift, and it was the scene itself is
very
fast.
Short.
It's a short scene, but it's
like
such
a
tone
less
shift.
Than a minute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was very good, and it was absolutely heart wrenching because, not gonna lie, when I was a kid, I think a lot of kids felt that way of just like, and this is also the point of what Avatar is trying to teach of just like, yeah, killing the bad guy ends all your problems, one and done. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
But that scene was. One of the things that, like, really drove it home of, like, revenge is bad.
Yeah, I mean,
Vengeance doesn't actually do anything or clear any conscience.
A lot of media, I feel like, is like, I'm gonna... Like, think of Princess Bride.
Mm.
Everyone's favorite character in that is Inigo Montoya. And his entire thing is, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Mm.
That's, like, the iconic, mm-hmm. iconic line from him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, he kills the guy who kills his father, and that's it. And, like, it's, we don't, he seems fine after that. It's fine, whatever, okay, cool. But I feel like recently a lot of media has kind of been going like, hey, when you kill someone, that changes you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, like, there's definitely characters who, like, kill with on a whim.
Right.
Like, doesn't matter, whatever. I don't care. Like, the Punisher.
Right.
For example, is a, he doesn't give a crap. He just will kill anyone who gets in his way. He has that, like, neutral evil energy to him where he has his very strict morals, but he will go after the people who he thinks is, like, bad. But I feel like now there's kind of a mix where there are definitely shows and movies where you're seeing this, like, revenge is bad, like, it's not gonna heal you, it's just gonna hurt you more. Killing someone who did you wrong is also bad, and all that. And you kind of see it through Callahan, too. He was on such a narrow path to get revenge for his daughter that he didn't care that Tadashi, one of his best students, who he was close with, died in the process.
Right.
That didn't affect him even a little bit.
No. Nope.
And I know this is an overused quote, but you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Oh. I don't think I've heard that one.
Dude, how have you not... Oh, right. You didn't watch the Batman trilogy.
Yeah, that's how.
It's like the classic Joker line.
Oh, okay.
Again, you need to watch those movies.
I know. But that's another way that Big Hero 6 is very good at reflecting the different types of grief, because you have whatever hero's going through and his family and Tadashi's friends versus what grief can drive you to, which is Callahan.
Yeah, and I like how the movie is also kind of showing how Hero is kind of emulating his brother in a way. Because at the end, when the portal is still open and they're like, and Baymax realizes that someone is in there and that, you know, and that, like, when he says at the end, he's like, someone's in there, someone has to help. That's exactly what Tadashi said before going into, like, the building that was on fire.
Yeah.
So it's like that perfect mirroring happening where you kind of see Hero go from little shit to, like, a good kid. A good kid.
He's a good kid. And I do like how they tried to show that he, or they didn't try, they showed that he is his own person who's influenced by Tadashi without becoming Tadashi. It's the own trope of, like, oh, I have these huge shoes to fill. What am I going to do with this? How am I going to fill and become this person that I've lost? And he was able to figure out, like, he is his own person who admires and misses his brother.
I don't think that that was a trope happening here, though.
Not in this one. You see it a lot in others.
Yeah. That trope wasn't really happening. It wasn't like he was like, how do I fill my brother's shoes? It was very much, what do I do without him?
Yeah.
Like, I think the trope, not trope, it's not really, I don't think this happens often enough for it to be a trope. But here, what's happening is him going, what do I do without him? Like, he's learning to live his life without his older brother.
Yeah.
Not, how do I become my older brother?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, especially since Tadashi did a lot for Hiro.
He did. Do they say how old they were when they lost their parents? Because I assume...
It is highly possible that that happened while I was FaceTiming with my nephew and I couldn't hear it.
Okay, because I couldn't remember. Because I assume Tadashi is 19, Hiro is 14. We got a 5-year age gap.
Possibly. That's
right?
Not
implausible. 18, 19, right? College.
That's not implausible.
Yeah. So I didn't know if it said how old they were, because he remembers them, so he wasn't, like, a very small child.
It might have been, like, semi-recent, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. Also, just so everyone knows that I watched, because I've told you this before we recorded, but, like, I was watching the movie, and then my nephew FaceTimed me, but I had to watch it before 2 o'clock, so I just continued watching while I was talking to my nephew. So I could have missed a little detail like that very easily. But I somehow managed to continue to take notes.
Nice.
I'm trying to think of other things. Oh. While I was watching this, I was really thinking about The Runaways. And I mean to bring this... I feel like we bring up The Runaways a lot now. But I feel like Big Hero 6 achieves something that The Runaways was trying to, like, strive for.
Definitely, yeah.
You know?
It was, like, the found family that succeeded. And yes. And cared about each other.
Yeah. Because at the core of Big Hero 6 is... You know, the four of the characters were together already. Mm-hmm. Like, they were friends. They have a history. And then there was that death that temporarily splintered them-ish. Mm. Like, the four friends who were already friends, like, stayed. But it was Hiro, who was new to the group, who splintered away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that happens in The Runaways. Like,
yeah.
Nico's sister dies and everyone splinters, and there's an attempt to bring them back together because of this great big secret that happens, you know?
Right.
And so I think, like, the bare bones of these two groups are very similar.
Mm.
But the story that leads on is very different because in Big Hero 6, you can see that each person supports the other.
Yeah, definitely.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. In The Runaways... They do not support each other. Unless they're the significant other, they do not support each other.
Even then, that got iffy. Definitely. They really genuinely cared about each other because they just cared about each other. They loved each other. They were friends. Mm-hmm. They wanted to support and help each other. And that was the vibe that carried them through. Also, I think Big Hero 6 was able, because it's a movie, to focus on more central themes versus Runaways, which was just all over the place per season.
Well, I think part of it is what we talked about at the end of Cloak and Dagger, which was, if you're going to go with this dynamic, make the dynamic strong. So Big Hero 6 went with this, you know, group dynamic, and they made the bonds between them very strong.
Right. Yeah.
Even after Hiro leaves them on the island, they all come back to him and they say, like, that was a fight for them, but they still go back to him and say, like, we want to support you, but we have to do this the right way. But The Runaways, they wanted this found family thing, but they were too interested in creating divides between them make it a family.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely. So it goes back to that, is that if you're going to choose a dynamic between certain characters, stick with it.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want found family, make it found family. Make them actually like each other's company. Mm-hmm. Make them love each other. Make them care for each other. Make them help each other.
Right.
There can be conflict within the dynamic.
Right.
But it cannot be conflict that at the end of the day makes whoever is within the dynamic question the relationships.
Definitely, yeah. And it should never be uncomfortable or questioning, or it should never be uncomfortable or unclear to the audience. Because by the end of Runaways, I was like, why do you guys still like it? Why are you still around?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, again... I guess not to bring everything back to The Runaways, but that's the thing, is that what's good about this movie is that they have that kind of group friend dynamic that works really, really well because there is unconditional support.
Yeah. To bring it back to our other fave, have you heard or are you familiar with how Big Hero 6 is very, very loosely related to Iron Man?
What?
I don't know if it's not entirely like fan fiction, but like the base story of Big Hero 6 was supposed to be the like kids version of Iron Man.
What?
I can't remember.
That's
what
this... so weird.
Yeah, it's like deep cut knowledge because again, it's like based on the comics, but like you kind of see it. It's not like a new Iron Man where like in the comics they have a bunch of iterations, but it's the same general trope of like kid genius builds robot, becomes hero. And it's very, very, very thinly related to canon Iron Man.
Okay, that makes more sense. The, like, just to directly compare hero to Tony Stark. Okay.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
makes
yeah.
more sense.
It's not quite the, like, many universes. Like, there are a bunch of different Spider-Man many universes, a bunch of different Iron Man many universes, but they do connect
if there
eventually.
Was ever an Iron Man-verse versus the Spider-Verse, hero would show up, is what you're saying. Much like that other anime girl.
Yeah.
In Spider-Verse.
Those two would be friends. Anyways. Hero, I
that
could just imagine
that was genuinely
them, like,
a thought I had, though, watching this again. I was like, oh, this kind of reminds me of that little girl with the pet spider robot thing.
Yeah.
In Spider-Verse.
I would like some fan art of that. I think that would be cute to see the kids, like, meeting and then just, like, immediately getting excited about the other's robot. And being like, how does this work?
I feel like I've seen something like that, actually.
Probably. Oh my god, the Big Hero 6 fan art. It's fun. It's just very wholesome and very sweet. I do enjoy Big Hero 6 fan art.
I just think, honestly, people who do fan art, God's work. Fan art and fan fiction, God's work over there. I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
Right?
I really don't.
Yeah. But do you see the similarities? Other than the big obvious ones?
Well, I mean,
I guess those are the big obvious ones.
I think that's it. I think that's literally it. It's kind of like The Incredibles is loosely based off of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Mr. Incredible is the thing. Elastigirl is Mr. Fantastic. The kid, Violet, is...
Is
Sue Storm, yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Because Miss Invisible Girl, or Invisible Woman. I think Dash is none of them, but...
Dash
is just, like, fast, you know? and the baby is supposed to be an amalgamation of, like, everything all the time.
Yeah.
Because, like, the baby does everything. they were kind of, like, playing off of that, like, dynamic. But they just couldn't make Dash have fire powers because then it'd be too obvious.
Yeah, that's true.
Couldn't be, whatever. Firestorm?
The Human Torch. Flaming
the
Torch?
The Human Torch.
Yeah.
Who's Firestorm? It's not relevant. Never mind. I don't know. This is a very good movie.
Yeah.
I don't have very much else to say other than what we've already said. I think it hits a lot of places that previous to it were, you know, lacking in media. It's diverse without being obnoxious, unless you're talking about the woman up thing, which is obnoxious. Like, it's not, like, shoving it in your face, like, look at our diverse cast!
Right. Yeah.
And it's, like, fun because superheroes are always fun, and it's got a sound, like, story. The plot is amazing.
Yep.
And its core theme is something incredibly important and, like, impactful.
Definitely. I absolutely adore Big Hero 6. It's a good time. I recommend it for any age. For any age.
Yeah. I'm so glad that I got my nephew to watch it.
I tried to get my nephew to watch it. I might have been too young. He was not interested. I'll have to try again.
Yeah, my nephew was 4.
Mm.
I feel like there's this weird age where, like, you want to watch movies with a kid, but they're too young because they cannot sit through 2 hours of anything.
Right.
And then, like, I think around 4 is when you can hit, like, okay, he can sit down for the whole movie.
Right.
And, like, you can manage it, and so they sit down for the whole thing. Like,
yeah. No, so I remember my nephew was, he was too young. He doesn't have a long attention span anyways, but he was watching Big Hero 6, and we got to the college scene, and he was just like, that's not possible. And I was just like, yes, it is. Not to this scale, but you can become an engineer. Oh my god, I swear to God. I was trying real hard to get this kid to be like, just go into science. Be smart.
do not follow communications like me.
It's that, and then, like, he also has, like, because he's that age, and it's where he grew up, but he's super into, like, jock football, like, I'm gonna grow up to join the army mindset, and I'm just like, there's other options. He's at that age when he's like, I'm gonna become a soldier, and I'm just like, go to MIT.
Ew. No, my nephew is not talking like that. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I think that would scare me if I, like, my nephew was like, I want to be a soldier. I'd be like, what are you guys teaching him? Like, that would scare me.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and make him watch Big Hero 6 again and turn him into an engineer of some sort.
Is he old enough for Avatar? I just got my nephew to start watching it.
He is? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you should do that. I just got my nephew to do it, and it's fantastic. I'm loving it. He now wants to play Firebenders.
Oh.
Like, he wants to play, like, he'll change his mind every 2 seconds. He'll be like, good. I'm a Firebender. I'm in Waterbender. I'm an Airbender. I'm an Earthbender. But mostly he does Firebender, because right now we're doing it over, like, FaceTime. And so you can, put emojis on your face. So mostly he just does, like, the fire one, because he's like, look, I'm a firebender. I have more fire than you. I'm better than you.
Aw, yeah.
Anyway, I guess this just means that we need to do an Avatar series soon.
I think that's what we're going to do. Yeah, I think that's our June. I think June is just going to be going through the books of Avatar. We've brought it up so much.
I know. It's finally on Netflix. I can finally just, like, sit and watch it and, like,
yeah, it's discuss. Time.
Ugh, it's such a good show. Okay, I digress. Big Hero 6 is such a good movie. Watch Big Hero 6.
Yeah. Also, if you ever need an easy Halloween costume, Hero. I picked that whole outfit up at Target, and that was my con outfit.
What? Like, his superhero outfit, or just how his normal his clothes?
No, his red t-shirt, blue jacket, tan pants, and then I have a stuffed Baymax, and that's me every Halloween now.
okay, cool. Anyway, we'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. And you can check out our website, EarthsMightiestFangirls.com. And send us an email at EMFangirls@gmail.com. We really appreciate those emails. They're a lot of fun. Do all the lovely, lovely things. And rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the podcast. If you like us, just drop a little line. Even if you don't like us, drop a little line. I don't care. Just feedback.
Right.
We're also on Spotify and Stitcher and, like, all those other places, probably, so check us out.
Yeah. Happy APAM. This was fun. And thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing.